Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Welcome to the Avenue F Brethren that's come to help us feed today. Thank y'all so very much for coming. We want to give you a little report today on our radio ministries, our internet ministry. This past month we suffered 2 days of hacks, but yet we still had 129,000 hits on our internet. An absolutely amazing thing. Our radio ministries are under attack, and let's talk about that a little. As you see from our map, as you can see, we broadcast to all of North Texas, and we broadcast to Abilene, and we get a large area out there in West Texas out of Radio Abilene. We broadcast to all of Oklahoma. We lost our station in Searcy, Arkansas. It's sold, and so we're looking to try to pick up another station in Arkansas because that's the home of Harding University, and we want to try to have an influence on the next generation of preachers. Our broadcast in Nashville, Tennessee, That circle there really doesn't do justice to the broadcast. We're on a 50,000-watt blaster out of Nashville, Tennessee. That broadcast covers most of Alabama and Mississippi. It covers large part of Kentucky and all of Tennessee. And so it's a large, large broadcast that goes forward there out of Tennessee. We are on three networks, Africa Radio Network, broadcast 1, 2, and 3, as you can see on that Africa station there, on that Africa map. Now, shortwave radio shoots a signal up in the air to the ionosphere, and it bounces back down like a ping pong ball and back up and back down and back up and back down. And I got a report this past week from a person in the Netherlands. Now, Radio Africa is down here. The Netherlands are up here. He was receiving Radio Africa, and out of a possible 5 for excellent, he got 5s and 4s and 1, 3 out of all the 5 different grades of the quality of the signal. That's absolutely wonderful. So what I'm saying is, just because we say we're broadcasting to Africa, this signal is going off all over everywhere. This ping pong ball just keeps bouncing and bouncing and bouncing and bouncing, and there's no telling where it's going to wind up, and we'll get to that later. And so our radio broadcast 4 is Radio Madagascar, broadcasting to Southern Africa and all of South America. Broadcast 5 is Radio Madagascar again, broadcasting to Northern Africa and Europe. Broadcast 6 is broadcasting to Russia, India, China, and the rest of the Pacific. We're having problems with Radio Madagascar. The government over there wants a little scratch. They want a little kickback. They want Radio Madagascar to pay them a percentage of any radio time that they sell. Radio Madagascar only sells radio time to us. So guess who's under attack? Us. And so the Radio Madagascar are Christian people, and they're not going to pay any kickbacks. They're not going to be paying any scratch, and neither are we. So we're under attack from this government in Madagascar, and they have millions of dollars worth of antennas and satellite dishes and all this stuff over there that's all at stake. And so if this turns turtle on us, I have made contact with this past week, Pan American Broadcasting. She sent me this letter and said, never in the history of Pan American Broadcasting have we done so much broadcasting for so little money, talking about what she's doing for us here. We'll see here in a minute. And so I sent her a letter back and said, well, see if we can't double up. So if we just very well might double down with them if we lose Radio Madagascar for any reason. One of these broadcasts is Radio Broadcast 7 is North America, all of North America out of WRMI Miami. Broadcast 8 is all of South America. You know, Brazil is number 1 on our website hits. You think that there aren't people? How in the world would people in Brazil hear about the Main Street Church of Christ? Well, they had to hear us on shortwave radio. There's no other way that they could have done it. Broadcast 9 broadcasts out of Nashville, Tennessee, and it broadcasts over the North Pole. It broadcasts north, and it comes down in China and the Pacific. It gets all of Russia, China, India, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. It gets all of the Pacific, and it's broadcast over the North Pole. It continues on. It went over the world and came back up, and a guy in Tupelo, Mississippi called me the other day, and he got the broadcast in Tupelo, Mississippi at 3 o'clock in the morning, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon in China. That's when our broadcast is broadcast in China. He got the message at 3 o'clock in the morning in Tupelo, Mississippi. He wrote us. He said, what must I do to be saved? I've been out of church all my life, so forth. So I've got him hooked up with the Church of Christ there, sent him a bunch of Bible studies and so forth. Now, just exactly what Worldwide Christian Radio does out of Nashville, WRMI out of Miami in Broadcast 10 and Broadcast 11, broadcasts over the North Pole again, gets all of China, all of Russia, all of Mongolia, all of India, all of Indonesia, the Pacific, all of Japan, Australia, New Zealand. And so since we buy one broadcast from them, they give us another broadcast free. We buy a broadcast at 4 o'clock, and they give us 9 o'clock free. Then broadcast 12 is out of WRMI Miami, and it broadcasts from Miami, and it goes all the way, it gets Europe, Africa, all of the European countries, all the way through India. Bear in mind, India has 1.2 billion people, billion, not million people, and they all speak the Queen's English just about. Broadcast 13, WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. You get all of North America, all of South America, all of Africa, all of Europe, half of Russia, all of India, and we lose just a little there in the Pacific. We've also entered into a contract with World Satellite Radio that has 9.5 million subscribers that can tune in to hear us at any one time. So we have 14 international broadcasts going out right now today, and we have 4 national broadcasts going out in the United States. And 2 weeks ago, we had about $50 in the bank. We've done so much for so long with so little, we're now fully qualified to do anything with nothing. Isn't that wonderful? God always sends the money. And so no matter what, we are all non-paid here. Everybody in this church, nobody in this church gets paid. None of the workers, none of the secretaries, none of us get paid. We're just all here going to get paid up there with the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with pay. There's nothing wrong with taking pay. We're just going to take ours later. That's all. We had a boy came here from Harding University. He had a double major. He had a major in Bible, so he's not stupid about the Bible. And he had a major in accounting, so he's not stupid about money either. And you know what he told me after the first service that he sat through here? He said, you know, Kelly, it is amazing what a church can do if they're not paying preachers and building buildings. And that's the truth. So if you're tired out there in the radio audience of seeing Professor Smart drive a brand new Cadillac on your dime, and you'd like to instead broadcast the gospel to the whole wide world, $75 a week will broadcast it to billions upon billions of people in the Pacific and in China. $175 a week will broadcast it to the entire earth in China twice. Amazing thing. Worldwide Christian Radio encourages our listeners to worship God in your home, where there's no Church of Christ, or where persecution rules in places like Syria and Iraq and China, where they kill you for being Christian. First of all, the church is the people of God. It's not a building. And so we want to encourage you to worship God in your own home. I'd like for you to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, Main Street dash, like a hyphenated word, churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, and there's all kinds of written lessons. The Passover was a shadow of the future Lord's Supper, celebrated every Sunday, in which is the first day of the week in the Christian age that Christians are to come together upon the first day of the week and partake of the Lord's Supper until He comes. Now, I know that many of you out in the radio audience don't know of this teaching, and we want to help you understand it. It's not a big deal. You can begin to do things more perfectly. You can begin to do things right when you learn the truth of the Scriptures. So this morning, we're going to study the truth of the Scriptures. Exodus 12:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it. According to the number of souls, every man according to his eating, shall you make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Jesus was without blemish, and he was the Lamb of God. The only sacrifice that was ever made other than by human beings was the sacrifice of Christ. Without blemish, a male of the first year, you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. Now, you'd take this lamb and you'd bring it in the house and you'd keep it like a pet until the 14th day of the month, and then you'd kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper door posts of the house, which was called the lintel of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that is in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it not raw, nor sodden, don't boil it in water, in other words, at all with water, but roast it with fire, and its head and its legs and its pertents thereof, the tail, leave the tail on it, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. So if you didn't eat the tail by the morning, you throw it all in the fire, burn everything up that you don't eat, which remaineth of it till morning you shall burn with the fire. Thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn of the land of Egypt. That was a bad thing for the Egyptians to have their firstborn smoten, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. The Egyptians worshiped false gods. God says, I'm going to get judgment on all this false religion. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be unto you a token upon your houses, wherein that when you see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where you get the word Passover. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you as a memorial, and you shall keep it for the Lord throughout your generations. So throughout the generations, this memorial shall go on, but it's going to be modified and changed someday. And ye shall keep it as a feast and an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even in the first day shall you put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. It was a death sentence. Leaven was figurative of sin. So what God is saying is put sin out of your life all week long. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, we see that brought home to us in the New Testament. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? A little bit of sin's going to get all of you. I'm telling you now, you can't smoke a dime rock. You can't do it. A dime is not enough. You'll have to have another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And you can't just rob one bank, because when you spend that money, you're going to have to go do another one. Listen to me. It's the truth. Sin begets more sin. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, so Christ has become our Passover as Christians, is sacrificed for us. He was the Lamb of God, sacrificed for us. So therefore, let us keep this feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Likewise, Christ's blood is symbolic of the blood shed as the Lamb of God. In Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission or no remission of sins. There's no putting away of sins without blood. It required the death of an innocent victim. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God made them coats of skins. Do you think some little lamb just said, hey, I volunteer my skin? It required the death of an innocent victim. The lamb was innocent. And so you, because of your sin, and me, because of my sin, we require the death of an innocent victim in our place. Now, my innocent victim, his name is called Jesus. That's my get around. That's how I get around it. I have a get out of jail free card.
Jesus, he died on the cross in my place. I should have been there. He died for me. Hebrews 9:26. Now, he did this. His sacrifice was so perfect, it was good enough for all the sins of the whole world throughout all time. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. If he was like a regular high priest, he would have had to die every year. But now once in the end of the world, see that world there, it means age, eon in the Greek. It means at the end of the Jewish age right here, when the cross began and the age of grace began, Christ died once in the end of the Jewish age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Exodus 12, verse 22. You shall take a bunch of hyssop, that's like a branch off a tree or a bush, and you shall take a branch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and two side posts of the blood in the basin. And I'm encouraging you today, because this is figurative, this thing that's happening in the Old Testament. You remember, it's a shadow of the new thing to come. I'm encouraging you to take the blood of the Lamb and strike the two side posts of your house and strike the lintel of your house and get covered by the blood of the Lamb today, your own self. Let's drop down to Exodus 12, verse 29. It came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne to the firstborn of the captives in the dungeon, and the firstborn of the cattle. It's important that we as Christians take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Passover is a shadow of the coming, substitutional death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even at Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now Jesus ate the Passover, and what we're really studying is the last week of Jesus' life. And this is one of the events in the last week of Jesus' life. So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. And he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. See that word dippeth? That in the Greek is baptizo. Men think that they have all kinds of authority. They assume all kinds of authority. We talk to you a lot about the authority in the Church of Christ. Where do you get the authority to wear that great big hat? Where do you get the authority to wear all them robes? Where do you get the authority to wear that suit and that nice little white collar there? Where do you get the authority to get men to come kneel down to you and kiss your ring? Where do you get the authority to sit in some high chair up in front of the church and rule the church? Where do you get authority to do these things? Authority comes from God. It can only come from one place. The word baptizo means to dip, to immerse, to plunge under. I can prove it with this verse right here we just read. Jesus said, he who dippeth his hand in the bowl with me, he took bread and dipped it in gravy, in other words, and took a bite. Everybody knows what that means, don't you? It's dip. Now, when the King James translators of the Bible started making the translation of the Bible, they said, well, we've come to this word here, baptizo. How are we going to translate this word baptizo? If we translate it and tell the truth and translate it dip, immerse, plunge under, we're going to make the Catholics mad, we'll make the Church of England mad, we'll make the Presbyterians mad. And if we lie and translate it sprinkle, the Protestants will all expose us. They'll expose the lie and we'll look bad throughout all of history. And so they said, well, we'll just do nothing. We'll make up a word. So they took the word baptizo, B-A-P-T-I-Z-O, and they transanglicized it and they made baptism. They turned it into just an English word, baptism. There's no such word before then as baptism. Nobody had ever heard the word baptism before 1611. I heard Archie Bunker one night. He was talking. Somebody said something. He said, well, it's invenereal to me. And I said, what? There's no such word as invenereal. It's immaterial. It's not invenereal. Well, you know what these guys did? They said it's invenereal to us. That's what they did. They said it's invenereal to us. We'll just make it baptism and let everybody figure out what it is their own self. Now, how's God going to handle that? I don't have any idea. I don't have any idea. I don't have a verse in the Bible that tells me to go out in the world and judge people and send them to heaven or hell based on how they're baptized. But I'm telling you right now, I have authority to dip, immerse, and plunge under people in water because that's what the word means. And that's what we do here. You've seen it many times. So now we've gone and chased a rabbit. And he answered and said unto him, he that dippeth his hand in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe unto that man whom the Son of Man had betrayed. It had been good for that man had he not been born. It doesn't sound like Judas came out of the deal very good, does it? Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou sayest. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. See those words? Shed for the remission of sins. That's the very same Greek clause that's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where the people cried in verse 37, said, Men and brethren, what should we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It's the very same Greek clause that's used right here, for the remission of sins. So these are important things, both baptism on one hand and the Lord's Supper on the other hand, because both of them have to do with remission of sins. And remission of sins is a wonderful word. It means God is willing to enter into a handshake covenant agreement with you right now and forget every sorry, rotten, no good thing that you've ever said, done, or thought in your whole life. Now that's the deal. God is willing to forget. He says, their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Oh, God, I remember my sins, some of my sins, and I want to hide my face. I wouldn't dare tell you some of my sins. I mean, I've been awful. Anybody else been awful? Oh, I see a bunch of you hadn't been very bad at all. Are you trying to tell me you don't need much saving? Listen, man, I need full salvation. Do you understand? I'm not ashamed to stand here and tell you before the whole wide world, I need full salvation. I need a powerful God to save me. My God is strong to save, powerful to save. And if he can save me, he can save anybody. Mark's account of the Last Supper is in Mark chapter 14, verse 22. Now I want to ask you something. How many times do you have to be told something in God's word for it to count? Huh? How many times did the angel tell Lot and his wife and his family, don't look back at Sodom? How many times did he tell them? One time. And so Lot's wife looked back and she got turned into a pillar of salt. So apparently all you got to be told something is just once, and that's good enough for God. Apparently, right? We ought to be able to come to that conclusion. Now, Mark's account of the Last Supper is found in Mark 14, 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and broke it, gave it to them and said, Take ye, this is my body. Now, you see that clause, is there? It comes from the Latin of that. When you translate Greek into Latin, it comes out hocus corpus magnum. Now, from that, magicians have developed that magic word hocus pocus. And then they pull a rabbit out of the hat. See? Now, from this developed the doctrine of transubstantiation. The doctrine of transubstantiation teaches that when you eat the bread and you swallow it, it actually turns into the literal body of Christ in your tummy. And that when you drink the grape juice, when you swallow it, it actually turns into, by hocus pocus, into the blood of Christ in your tummy. Is anybody sitting in here think that if you then did an autopsy on the person and cut their tummy open, you'd really find flesh and blood in there? Come on, guys. This was done to keep people in foolishness and to control them, to make them think that there was great magic in the priesthood. It was done in the Middle Ages. It's silliness. This is an example. Jesus gave us this as an example for us to do. Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank of it, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the church and the church of Christ. We're in the kingdom of God today. The kingdom of God has been going on for 2,000 years. So when you drink of that fruit of the vine today and you say, Lord, have mercy upon me, forgive me of my sins, Jesus was there symbolically and spiritually drinking of that cup with you. It's just like having your sins washed away every week. It's a renewal every week. It's symbolic of a renewal every week. Just like unleavened bread, you were to keep leaven out of your house for a week. You're to try your very best to keep sin out of your life this week. You're to take this unleavened bread that we just took here. You're to come back next week having tried to keep sin out of your life. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be perfect at it. Nobody is going to be able to be perfect at it. But you're going to do your best to keep sin out of your life until next week when you come back and take the Lord's Supper again. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Luke 22, verse 14 is Luke's account. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take, eat, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. It's in remembrance of the Lord that we take the Lord's Supper. So when we pray for the bread up here, you need to pray and you need to say, Lord, forgive me, I've done this week, I fouled up, I got mad, I did this, I cussed, I sinned, I did something other, whatever. And it's a time for you to privately confess your sins to God while you pray for the bread, while you pray for the fruit of the vine. It's a time for you to do that. This do in remembrance of me. Now see, there he's done gone and told us three times. Once in Matthew, once in Mark, and once in Luke. How many times you got to be told something? Likewise also after the cup supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus refers to his future eating his flesh and drinking his blood in John 6:53. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, none at all. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jump down to John chapter 13. We're going to just hit the high spots of this. John gets us some information the synoptic gospels don't cover about the Lord's Supper. And the supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things to his hand, and he was come from God and went to God, he arises from supper and lay aside his garment and took a towel and girdeth himself. And after he had poured water in a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and wash them with the towel that he was girded with. If you drop down to verse 15, you see that this is not a ritual that Christ instilled. This is not something we're to practice and do like the taking of the Lord's Supper. He never says, "This do in remembrance of me." Instead, he says, "I have given you an example," in verse 15, "that you should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither is he greater than him that sent him." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's going to tell us for the fourth time. Verse 17, "Now this I declare unto you, and I praise you not, that when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all," let's drop down to verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now there's four times he's told us that. "And after the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, This cup's the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat of this bread and drink this cup, you do show," and that word there means proclaim, "the Lord's death till he comes." Has he come back yet? Then we're supposed to still be doing it, aren't we? Doesn't it say, "till he comes"? "You do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Huh. You mean there's people today that's come together and worshiped all over the world and have not proclaimed the Lord's death? Yes, I do. I'm sorry to tell you that. Now, most of them just didn't know no better, and we're just trying to tell them, all you got to do is get you some unleavened bread. It's the most prevalent food on the face of the earth. All you got to do is take some flour and water and mix it up and bake it. Don't you put a little butter or lard in it? I think so. You just mix up flour and water and bake it. I mean, that'll work. It's called unleavened bread, crackers. And, of course, fruit of the vine. Is there any place on earth that doesn't have grapes? No. You can get grapes in Alaska. They got grape juice everywhere. You can get it in China and Japan. You can get grape juice everywhere. So Jesus chose the easiest thing. Be baptized in water. 7/10 of the earth's surface is water. Is water hard to find? No, it's not hard at all. My God provides water in the desert. The Ethiopian eunuch was going down towards Gaza in the desert. And he said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" God provides water, no problem at all. They were baptizing over in Iraq. I seen that they dug out a little hole like a grave. It's about a foot deep, put plastic, lined it all in plastic, poured water in it, and baptized people in just a foot of water. It's easy. It's not a big deal. And, of course, fruit of the vine and unleavened bread's everywhere. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So we're to proclaim his death, and we're to do it till he comes. Now, only thing we hadn't been told yet is how often to do it, right? "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, that word there, unworthily, means is that you got a high sin in your life. You're sinning, and you're doing some kind of sin, and you're just shaking your fist at God and saying, "I got a right to do that sin." Let's say you're stealing from your boss. You're working over here at the store, and the guy's not paying you nothing but minimum wage, and you decide, "Well, I deserve $15 an hour. And so here's what I'm going to do. He ain't paying me but $7.25 an hour, so I'm just going to steal another $7.75 an hour. I'm going to take it out of the cash register, and it's not like stealing. I got a right to it. And so you work it out, you justify it in your mind, you make it feel all right, and then you start dipping in that till and putting it in your pocket, and you work it out, you got it all worked out, that it's all okay. And so then you come here on Sunday and you take the Lord's Supper just like nothing's going on. Or you got a squeeze, you got a girlfriend on the side, you got a wife and a girlfriend on the side, and you just come here and take the Lord's Supper like there's nothing happening. That's unworthily. Shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Take a look at your own self, and then God won't have to judge you. Examine himself, and so let him eat that bread, drink that cup. So it doesn't tell you don't take of the Lord's Supper until you stop doing that stuff. It tells you stop doing that stuff and take the Lord's Supper immediately. See, there's no excuse not to repent once you know the truth. There's never any excuse not to repent. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So if you do that, you're going to eat, drink damnation yourself, the book says. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God says that if you do that, that here's what he's going to do to you. First thing he's going to do, he's going to make you weak. And then the next thing he's going to do, he's going to make you sickly. You'll be sick all the time. And then finally, a key. That's what sleep means. And so if you disrespect God, come take the Lord's Supper, play like you're a Christian, and you're really not, he's going to get you. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Hey, how wonderful. I'm going to judge myself. I did that sitting right out in the lobby when they handed me that bread this morning. I said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the worst of sinners. Wash all my sins away. I've really fouled up this week, man. Just as bad as last week. But I try. Have mercy on me. Just be honest with God. He knows. Just come clean with God. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord. He beats us. He spanks us of the Lord that we should not be condemned of the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. So take the Lord's Supper all at one time. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. We started putting DVDs on there. When you go to the DVD page, it takes a minute for it to upload, so you'll need to be patient. But you can see DVDs of this broadcast. And Joe's got all kinds of pictures he's putting on there. He's a real Cecil B. DeMille. He's doing a cast of thousands, man. He's doing a real great job. And so we looked at it the other day. We got 800 people watching our DVDs. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly. First summary after the day of Pentecost about the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship. And that word fellowship also comes from a Greek word that we get giving from. In the breaking of bread, taking of the Lord's Supper, and prayers. So now we get a summary of the worship of the church. But still, we haven't asked ourselves and been able to answer, how often do we have to worship? In Acts chapters 20, verse 7, we see, and upon the first day of the week, when's that? Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, what day did Christ rise from the dead? First day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to rock and roll. No, that's not what it says, is it? When the disciples came together, what? To break bread. So the number one thing in their mind, the early church, the disciples, when they came together was what? To break bread. That's what they came together to do. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. Do you know that there's one verse in the New Testament that tells us to worship on Sunday? I just read it to you. There's no other verse, just one verse. Now, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says on the first day of the week, let every man lay aside as the Lord's blessing. That seems to indicate that maybe He lays it aside at home. Maybe he lays it aside at an assembly. We don't know. But we know that Acts chapter 20, verse 7 is talking about an assembly, because it says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. How come Christians all over the world obey that verse, come together on the first day of the week, and 90% of them don't take the Lord's Supper? Why would you come together and not do what you're told to do when you come together? It don't make sense, does it? I mean, seriously, think about it. He told you to come together on the first day of the week, and then he tells you what to do when you come together. But they make excuses. They say, oh, if we do it too often, it loses its meaning. And we'll just do it on Easter and Christmas. And then some of them do it on St. Swithin's Day. So there are five things that we're told to do as part of worship. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. The second is preaching. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So wherever you're at in the world today, you can come together in your home. You can take the Lord's Supper. If you don't have a preacher, you can tune us in. You can listen to us in preaching. That's what many, many house churches, we've started over 5,000 house churches. That's what many, many of them do. They tune us in and they get their lessons from us. But if not, go to 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Just read a chapter from the Bible. You take the Lord's Supper, tune us in and listen to the preaching, or read a chapter in the Bible, and so now you've got the preaching done. Third is singing in Acts chapter 26, verse 30. When they sung a hymn, they went out the Mount of Olives. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The fourth thing that we have is praying. In Luke 18:1, it says, and he spake this parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so we saw in that first summary of the first worship service in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And then the fifth thing is giving of your blessings for the poor. We don't want you to send your money in to here from Guyana. We don't want things like that. We want you to have a worship service in your home. Take up a collection and use it in your own area, in your own home. All of you people throughout the world. All of you people throughout the world, do something good. Feed the poor. Buy Bibles. Do something good. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bounteously shall also reap bounteously. So there are five things that make up worship. We take the Lord's Supper, we sing, we preach, we pray, we take the Lord's Supper, and we give. All of those things make up worship. And worship is what people do when they have become Christians. To become a Christian, you don't do those five things. To become a Christian, you believe the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you believe that, then put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Just march right down to front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, be sorry for your sins, and come and have all your sins washed away in the water of baptism. Today is the day. Today you can become a Christian. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church and the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.